Testing, 1, 2, 3. This recording of the State Water Plant hearing on January 31st in Twin Falls, Idaho, 7 p.m.
We'll call our meeting to order for this evening.
I'm Gene Gray, Chairman of the Idaho Water Resource Board.
And with me tonight is Dave Rydalch, farmer from St. Anthony and member of Committee 9.
Jim Schauber from Eaton, farmer. Don Kramer in the back, farmer from the Castleport area. Plus, we have Wayne Paz, Department of Water Resources, and Frank Sherman, geologist from Department of Water Resources. What we're here for is to take public testimony on Policy 32, a revised Policy 32 of the State Water Plant. We don't have anyone signed up to give testimony, so we'll alter course a little bit. We'll have Mr. Sherman get up and give you a brief overview of Policy 32, then we'll open it up for questions and answers. First, Mr. Haas, I think we'll open it up.
Is there anyone who would give testimony for the changes in Policy 32 of the State Water Plant at the present time? If not, we'll close the hearing. Mr. Sherman, please group us on Policy 32, and we'll follow that with questions and answers.
Okay. It's really hard to understand perhaps what's happening. We have the existing water plan, proposed revisions, the copy of the current you had in your hand, the proposed revisions are on page 2 and 3. We also have the agreement that the state signed with Idaho Power Company. That's in the back of the current contract. As part of those agreements, specific exhibits, as they were called at that time, a package of proposed legislation. That's also included in that current. So when people start talking about the state claim water rights compromise, compromise, the Swan Falls Agreement, you have to remember that all these things are specified and all are really part of the action. Now, the very back page of your current newsletter lists about 7 things that have to take place. I'm sorry, it's 1 page. These things theoretically take place by May 15th, 1985. At that time, the principals, the spring negotiators, will sit down and say, have we made enough progress to continue with the agreement? It's clear we're never going to get our agreement. That decision point is May 15th. Go through that list, you see the very first thing is to change the state water plan. And that's what the proposed revisions attempt to do. They change the state water plan to satisfy the conditions of the agreement. The existing state water plan has a policy 32, which talks about allocating the available and unappropriated waters of the Snake River. When that was first adopted in 76, readopted in 82, the board and their staff, the Department of Water Resources, and perhaps even Idaho Power felt that the right at Swan Falls was subordinated, that the state had the authority to take the river down as low as they wanted. The current water plan says 300 CFS at Swan Falls. You all know the Idaho State Supreme Court said that's not the case. Idaho Power had an unsubordinated right at that particular dam. What the amount of that right was still subject to litigation in that Idaho Power had nameplate the generator capacity at 8,400 CFS for a number of years during the low flow period of the year they were not receiving their 8,400 CFS. Going back to district court to try and resolve just how much water Idaho Power really had a legitimate claim to. The state and the company both felt that another 5 years of litigation, it was clear that whatever the district court resolved, it would likely be challenged, if not by one of the principals, by someone else, and it would go back to the state Supreme Court. So to prevent this continued litigation, both the state and Idaho Power agreed to sit down and see if they could work out a compromise agreement. In October, when the Water Board came around and discussed the agreement per se, they talked about the framework agreement. On October 1st, the governing company, Attorney General, signed an agreement which basically laid out the stipulations, things they thought had to be taken care of in order to reach a final agreement. The lawyers for the parties put most of that in legalese, and that's what you had in the back of the newsletter. That was signed on October 25th. The board is charged with changing the water plan. There are certain specific things they have to address in those changes. There are some other things that, as long as you have revised and modified the plan, they sort of crept in. If you turn back to page two, let's just go very quickly through the proposed provisions and all the contrast of the existing water plan. Point out there's no contrast, but try and explain why it's there. The main policy 32, and what we've done is take out everything that relates to the basin, and where it's strictly policy, we bold-faced it, and then the material underneath the attempt to explain or is designed to be explanatory text for that policy. Key change here, of course, is that we've raised the minimum flow at the Murphy Gauge from 3,300 year-round. We propose to raise it to 3,900 from irrigation season, 5,600 CFS from non-irrigation season. The compromise value was basically reached at by saying, what's the historic low flow at that gauge? And it happens to be 4,500 CFS. The water plan in the state's position was 3,300. It's 1,200 CFS difference. So add six and take six away, split it in half, and we come up to 3,900 CFS. There's more water goes down, obviously, in the wintertime, particularly in the early spring. Therefore, as part of the trade-offs, it was agreed that a higher flow would be appropriate in the wintertime. Now, it mentions in the revised version a zero flow of Milner Gauge. That's already in the water plan. The state realizes that water short years, particularly all the water in the upper sink, is appropriate. Board does not intend to try and force somebody to review their water record. They have water going past that particular dam. The flow at Weezer is already in the water plan, 4,750 CFS. The two flows at Johnson's Bar and Line Points are additions. Line Point and Johnson's Bar are below the House Canyon complex. They're mentioned in the existing water plan as being desirable flows. They are part of the power company's federal license for the House Canyon complex. What the board is doing is adopting the language from the license, proposing to add it as a minimum flow in the state water plan, so that if the license were to be changed, they would still be recognized as minimum flow by the state. The states must be trying to assure those flows. If you turn to policy 32A, it talks about water held in trust by the state. And here we get into the problem of talking about things that aren't really in place yet, because the water board and the legislature are all working at the same time. It is a policy of Idaho that water held in trust by the state pursuant to Idaho Code 42-203B, and that's not yet law. It's not in the code. Be reallocated to new uses in accordance with the criteria established by Idaho Code 42-203A and 42-203C. 42203A are basically the existing portions of the code that specify the conditions that have to be met for the Department to issue a water right. It has to be a beneficial use, it can't be speculative, it has to be a local public interest. Those criteria which are already in place are 203A. 203B relates to the compromise that the Idaho Power Company and the state reached. And 203C what's commonly referred to as the new public interest criteria. Now, what happens in the compromise, what happens in the agreement, is that Idaho Power agrees to relinquish their claim to water, their 8,400 CFS, for example, is on hold. They will let the state hold that water in trust, and the state can reallocate it to new uses, providing they meet these three set portions of the Idaho Code. Why can we add specific criteria onto the issuance of a water right when the Idaho Constitution says the right of the citizen to appropriate the unappropriated waters in the state shall never be denied? Well, quite clearly, these waters were claimed by Idaho Power. They've gone through the appropriation process as such. They're not unappropriated waters in the state. Therefore, when the state wants to reallocate these waters to new uses other than hydropower, they're going to add additional criteria to the normal ones to the water right. The idea here is to have a checklist of criteria, and they're going to be broader in scope than the ones ones that have normally applied for ordinary water rights. They're going to talk about impact on the state's economy, impact on the hydrocarbon generation capacity of the rest of the area, because then finally, there's a list that are listed in the last there. The legislature. When we talk about water, the state has to reallocate. The agreement basically specifies that as long as 3,900 and 5,600 are in proper times of the year, it goes past the Murphy Gate, which is directly downstream from Swamp Walk Dam. Idaho Power will not exercise a claim for any of their water rights at any hydropower facility on the basin. If you follow the newspaper accounts or other meetings, you always hear us, and we use the same example here, talk about 600 CFS that's now available for reallocation. That's true when they reach immediately above Swan Falls. Idaho Power's claimed right at other structures on up the river is not 8,400 for each dam. No matter what that claimed right is, they've agreed they will not call for water to meet their claimed right, providing the 3,900 or 5,600 block that dam. What does Idaho Power really get from this? Well, depends who would have won in the court. Well, what the state is really agreeing to here is that 3,900 is the magic flow. There's no question about subordinating that. The power company is always guaranteed that water. The same is true of 5,600 in the wintertime. Idaho Power retains the right to use the water as long as it's available up to the capacity of the equipment at any facility. But the state has the authority to hold that water in trust and reallocate it to other users. Policy 32B, domestic, commercial, municipal, and industrial. The water plan, as I said earlier, as it stands today, is based on allocating water for new uses within the basin. What are the allocations for municipal and industrial uses? The water plan was based on volumes of water, so acre feet, and negotiators, the CFS. What we've done is convert the acre foot allocation for municipal and industrial uses, converted to CFS, average daily diversion, increased a little bit because we're talking about domestic, commercial, municipal, and industrial, and saying this is our target guess. Of those waters the state holds in trust that used to belong to Idaho Power, 150 CFS will be maintained as a reserve for these kinds of new developments. As I said, it's our best guess. We think it's a very conservative one. Most new development is not going to be particularly consumptive. If a new industry comes in and has to buy land, the odds are it's going to be land that's already irrigated. The amount of new consumption, because here the keywords are 150 CFS of water for consumptive purposes, not just in terms of diversion, but in terms of actual consumption. Because the water plan is revised or readopted at least every 5 years, if this is a really bad guess, it can be changed. But I feel as a staff person, it's a fairly good starting point. Policy 32C, agriculture. If the state holds so much water in trust, and they're going to allocate 150 for domestic, commercial, municipal, and industrial, the only other use we think of logically is being a consumptive use in Idaho is agriculture. Agriculture. The policy of the state will be that the remaining volume of water, or flow rate, is available for agricultural uses. These agricultural uses, though, they have to meet these new criteria that are to be established by the legislature, because this is not the unappropriated water. It's Idaho Power's water that's not being held by the state. The existing water plan had targeted acreages that they hope to see in order for Idaho to maintain the position in the food and fiber industry of the nation based on projections in 1975, they called for an expansion in the agricultural base in Idaho. We've not seen that expansion. It's been a bone of contention that it was outdated shortly after it was adopted because of the projections that were used to arrive at those numbers. The plan now says that these waters can be allocated to new agricultural development, but no more than 80,000 acres in any 4-year period of new irrigation development should take place. So instead of having a target number to shoot at, we've actually got a cap now. What we really did is look at, the negotiators gave us some choices here, but this is basically their number. I think it can be justified because in from 75 to 83, it says in there, an average of new irrigation acreage of about 17,500 acres per year. So this 80,000 number gives us 20,000 in a year. We don't stick with just 20,000 a year because if a big project came in, it shouldn't be artificially capped by a 20,000 per year thing. Let's make it 80,000 over 4 year interval. The concern here, of course, is that if we're really talking about those appropriated waters that the state holds in trust, if we start juggling the DCMI, then the agriculture number by default changes at the same time, unless we can find there's more water available than that. Policy 32D, hydropower. Use of water to generate electricity is already recognized as a beneficial use in Idaho. So the first part of this is just a simple restatement of fact. The depletion of flows below the minimum average daily flows set forth in Policy 32 is not in the public interest. This is reinforcing the idea that because Idaho Power is giving up to the state some water that they can reallocate, they want some protection for what they have left. It is not in the state's public interest to overlook the flow below 39 and 56 as established in Policy 32. The one thing that is here, and it falls back to the DCMI issue, is that in the original plan, when we thought we had all the water in the river down to 3,300, and Idaho Power was talking about Pioneer, we allocated a big chunk of water for consumptive purposes for thermal power generation for the state. Now, the thrust does not seem to be towards thermal power generation at this time. We think we can handle it at 150 CFS for DCMI, at least for the future. So that's a small change that relates to the allocation for hydropower. Under navigation, this is basically the same language that already appears in the state water plan. The board feels that with the minimum flows established, there's ample water for, there is enough water to protect the recreational interests and those commercial navigators below the Hell's Canyon complex, those guys who run the most in charge of people who come up. There should be enough water to satisfy their needs. Policy 32F is aquaculture. This has really got two parts to it. The first part is that if an aquaculturist or a fish or a trout or a catfish farmer wants to appropriate water, process his product, it comes out of the DCMI because it's a business at that point. It's not the aquaculture or fish raising, it's processing a commercial product. It's probably not a significant issue in that washing fish is not too consumptive in terms of the depletion of the DCMI allocation. It goes on to state, and this language is really from the existing plan, that the minimum flows established at the river irrigation station provide an adequate water supply for rational. However, it was recognized that it may be necessary to make different irrigation standards than presently exist. We said this is the language that's already in the plan. The idea is that if we're specifying 3,900 CFS as the minimum flow at the Murphy gauge, and the Milner gauge, or Milner outlet can be put at zero, what water is in the river to satisfy the requirement at Murphy, that's basically discharging 1,000 springs. Those aquaculturists who rely on 1,000 springs for their water have that backup protection behind them that the river can never go below 3,900. But as anyone who holds a water right in Idaho has to realize, the water right guarantees you water. It does not protect your means of diversion. If the spring discharge continues to decline, some of the crop farmers will probably have to change the way they divert water from the little channels and creeks below the springs to the great lakes. This is true. The same requirement applies to any other kind of farmer in the state also. In an extreme situation, we'd be in real trouble at Murphy, so I don't know if this is a good example. But in an extreme situation, a person might be required to go to well. His water right to stay the same, and the same priority date, his means of diversion. Policy 32G, fish, wildlife, and recreation. It is a policy of Idaho that the minimum flows established under Policy 32 are sufficient and necessary to meet the minimum requirements for aquatic fish and wildlife, and to provide water for recreation in the Snake River below Milner Dam. Stream flow depletion below the minimum flows is not a public interest. It's got several different competing uses, and in no case does it make good sense to the board that the flow of river should go below 3,900. Conceivably down to 3,300, but everybody suffers the lower the flow gets. I say conceivably 3,300, because that's what it is today. Portia is good because they're raising the flow. They're guaranteeing more water in the river for these fish, wildlife, and recreational interests. The board, it's specified in the policy that it's below Milner Dam, because you have to realize that the board has another way to protect these kinds of interests, and that's for the in-stream flow program. The board's the only entity in the state that can appropriate water for in-stream guidance. Power generators, and they have to run it for something to get the power, so they're diverting it also. The board above Milner Dam, on any tributary stream, if there are unappropriated waters available, can appropriate that water for fish, wildlife, and recreation, aesthetic, and a whole bunch of other environmental type purposes. I think the key thing here is we're raising the flow that was established. Policy 32H, water quality pollution control. If we're in a situation where we can't meet Idaho Power's claimed water right, the state Supreme Court said it was a valid water right. There's a question about forfeiture and estoppel and some other technical legal thing, but it was a valid water right. It seems inappropriate to the board to take good water to dilute bad water so somebody can dump that water to the river or to the land surface or whatever. So the board very simply states it is not a beneficial use of water for Policy 32I, new storage. Now we get into the more complex ones. This is one that's mandated by the agreement. It has two parts. The first part basically is that some determination that the maximum use of our existing storage facilities in the basin should be made. It's a question that the negotiators battled around with, and they finally decided to ask the water board to put the water plan, charge the board with trying to get things moving to find out if we're really doing a good job of managing the water basin. The idea is that the director of the Department of Water Resources would have to make that determination at some point what a new storage facility application or permit to construct a new storage facility came in. Why do the negotiators think it was important? All you have to do is live near Milner Dam, and you know that most years, on October 1st, when the irrigation season is over, the flows increase dramatically as the water minister tries to make a little extra runoff. There's water held in that system year after year that doesn't get used in the sense we normally think of using water. Why is that, does that happen? Well, state law provides that an individual can have a full normal stream flow right to irrigate his land, and on top of that is insurance, he can have a full storage right for the same piece of land. In good years, he's got enough water to irrigate his property twice, so he only produces one of them out there. That water sits there and then it gets dumped. The city of Pocatello, for example, has an appropriation for water. They got some storage space in one of the reservoirs. It was, I guess, designed as insurance. If the community were to expand dramatically or try to build industry, they wanted to have some water available. They've never called for that water. Today, they have no means to divert it. Had a call for it, they'd have to put pumps in the river and try and catch it when it went past. So those kind of things happening in the upper basin, where there's water there that a person doesn't really need, he has a legal right to it, and the problem is he has no really good way of doing anything about using it or letting someone else use it. The state has what's called a water bank program. The rules and regulations, water can be exchanged between water users and sellers, buyers and sellers. The committee of nine moved some water around in the upper basin using the water bank program and the rules and regulations associated with it. The things that the negotiators wanted the board to look at and the board in turn wants the director to address are the federal regulation that if you store water behind the federal reservoir, in a federal reservoir, behind the federal dam, you cannot sell that water at profit. What is the incentive for one of these persons who has water that he calls one in 10 years or one in 20, or in some cases never, to do anything about selling that water if you can't make a profit by selling it? Federal rules and regulations further provide that you can release or sell that water for 1 year at a time. So even if you were willing to go out, find the buyer, or work through the water bank and fill out all the forms to protect your right, to let somebody else use it, you can always lease it or sell it to that guy 1 year at a time. If new industry or a new irrigator, potential irrigator came in, the financing he could get with water guaranteed on the 1 year contract is about zero. So it's a real barrier to moving the water around in the upper basin. The state has their own barriers and they're equally dramatic, perhaps. If you have a natural flow right for a piece of ground and you have a stored water right for the same piece of ground, if you sold that water to another consumptive user, you'd be expanding your water right. It's against the state law. The only kind of users you can sell that water to are basically non-consumptive users. The state law provides if you don't use your water once in 5 years, you lose it, except for stored water. So if you want to try and move water around, there are both state and federal barriers to doing it very effectively. The negotiators asked the board to see, is there any way to streamline the water bank? Can we approach the federal government and see if they'll recognize the fact that no profit means no incentive, means the water sits there all year, all summer long, and it's not in the state. That's the first part of the policy. I have to admit that if someone came in with a new storage project today, the director would probably have to find that no, we're not making maximum use of the system because there is unallocated water available with property. You can't sell water behind the dam that's already constructed. Just given inflation, it seems unlikely that you want to build a new dam. Once that water's allocated, and the same question was asked, the director, I think, will have to find that under the existing legal and institutional constraints, yes, we're doing the best job we can. What we hope to do is be able to change some of those constraints before that question is asked. So the second part is really directly out of the world, since windfall and downriver. Second part of this particular policy says that approval of new storage projects that would divert water from the main stem of the Snake River between Milner and Murphy during the period of November 1 to March 31 should be coupled with provisions that mitigate the impact such depletions would have on the generation of hydropower. We all realize that the state, the power company's negotiators sit down and there's a trade-off. This is one where the power company feels strongly about trying to build a brown leaf reservoir in the wintertime. It's the main storage facility that allows them immediate control of what happens in the House Canyon complex. It needs to be full to maximize their thing. They're faced with rather having to dump water for that so-called fish flush business for Northwest Energy people, so protecting that business fishery for having to preserve them on the boat. A lot of reasons why that dam should be built every year. And it's part of the trade-off for giving up their claim to 8,400 CFS and going down to 39, they asked that there be protection for the filling of Bromley. One way to do it is to require new diversions and only in that region below Milner to provide some sort of mitigation. The term mitigation is chosen very carefully. It means lessen the impact. It does not mean give IO power dollar for dollar. It's a real stumbling block. The negotiators couldn't agree to set a criteria or project rules and regulations to calculate mitigation for a variety of reasons, so many different ways of looking at the problem. Also because each individual proposed project is a separate entity in and of itself. When they divert the water, how much, when their return flows would come back, those kind of questions would have to be addressed before any kind of real mitigation could be calculated. So the negotiators wanted the board to address that. They didn't want the board to try and do it now. In fact, the board proposed a different language and the negotiators said, oh, that's too specific. Let's let this one sit a while. The last part of the text, as was pointed out, is incorrect. There are projects on file that would propose a new water conversion for storage purposes from Red Ridge River. So the board will not be able to put this question off too long, it looks like. We're going to have to address it fairly soon, but it is not resolved at this time. If it becomes a matter of state policy or a series of rules and regulations, the board and the department are required to come out for public hearing to provide public information about it, new or proposed changes. The very last one then is policy 32J, stored water for management purposes. It's not specified by the name, totally new concept perhaps. It's there for one basic reason, and that is the agreement itself, though, in that the agreement says the Department of Water Resources and the state are responsible to assure that within their power, the flows don't go below 3,900, 5,600 CFL. I mean, recognizing the Snake Plain Aquifer covers hundreds of square miles out here, and it's the main contributing feature for water in the river, and everybody has to show up for the zone. It becomes really difficult for the department to say we're going to manage this river down to some magic number and stop there and never go below it. Now, law provides that junior appropriators can be cut off, but cutting off a junior appropriator on the Snake Plain doesn't do any good in terms of days or months even, perhaps, for the law purpose. So ideally, the department, if they make a mistake, would like to have some place where they could call for water and have it come down the river and cover up their mistake. Not really cover up their mistake, but satisfy the agreement, satisfy Idaho Power's right, satisfy the needs for the fishery and wildlife recreation and all the rest. As I said earlier, there are unallocated waters in Ryrie, for example. If the state could acquire some of those now while it's easy to get water, they would have a cushion. They would be, feel more comfortable about issuing new permits for new water users if they knew there was always this cushion to protect the possibility of mistakes. The water wouldn't have to sit there idling. I mean, that's the whole thrust of the agreement and the reason for it being able to look at maximum utilization. It would probably go to the water bank. It wouldn't be available for sale by the power, for example. If we ever get to the point where we really start drawing down those reservoirs, turning it out for some reason. I think we might see the day when the recreational user would be advised to acquire a right to some of that water. And maybe that one of the potential buyers through the water bank would be a recreational interest. They've been using the water at no cost, basically, but if the water rights holders can more effectively use that water, the reservoirs would be a lower stake of it. Summertime. The other thing the department has off in the back of their mind is that we're going to have to manage this whole basin much more carefully, and we're going to have to work with the groundwater and surface water as a single unit if the groundwater discharges at Thousand Springs control the river flow for part of the year. In states that have tried this kind of management approach, the problem of who do you shut off first? Water short period is pretty unmanageable. In Colorado, for example, in some of their basins, whenever they issue a new groundwater right, they require that that groundwater user have backup surface water available to meet any future river call for it, maybe issue the appropriate. If down the road Idaho were to get in that position, I personally and the department feels that it would be much more convenient if they could go to the state when they ask for the groundwater permit and have a place to get that water to meet any future river call, rather than having to go out and try to buy it, where there may be no unallocated water available. This business of meeting that river flow brings me to the last point I'm trying to make tonight, and that's not directly a part of the water board's responsibilities here. It comes out of the agreement. The agreement specifically specifies that anyone who can show beneficial use prior to October 1st, 1984, he knew that he was beneficially using water by that date. Idaho Power nor the state will not call upon them simply on the basis of not meeting the 3,900 or 5,600. Now, if he's in a place where he gets shut off 2 or 3 years in 10 anyhow, he's going to get shut off long before we get down to the 3,900 because we feel fairly confident there's more water than that available. But if extended drought period, and the river flow got down below 3,900, a person who's in place prior to this agreement would not be called on for water and still be safe. Anybody who appropriates water after the date of the agreement, anybody who gets some of that water that the state is holding in trust, they're the ones who's going to get shut off if the flows are not met. I think with that, Mr. Gray, I conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Now, you might make a note, if you didn't testify this evening, that the board will accept written testimony until February 22nd, 1985, and you can send that written testimony to the Idaho Water Resource Board, State House, Boise, Idaho, 83720. Now, we would open it for questions. One more time. Any questions? About your own water rights, about your own situation?
About the agreement?
About the agreement, about anything we might answer. Yes, sir.
It seems a little vague on the mitigation. This upstream storage, it doesn't even speak to who will make the decision on the mitigation, does it?
No, and I think that's another thing that's touched on here. The agreement implies very clearly that the decision will be made by the director of the Department of Water Resources. He will abide by guidelines or rules and regulations established by the Water Board. Now, remember on the mitigation thing, that's only for wintertime diversions below normal dam.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir.
We have a small water right in American Falls, and it's an 1895 right, I think. I plan to use it on the plateau out here. They're digging in land with, well, some land that the wells have dried up on, too. What becomes of that, I guess?
If you were going to put it on new land, I think you'd be in trouble, because to acquire a water right even with an 1890 date on it, you had to show that it was going to be put to some beneficial use on some specific piece of ground.
Well, we did that.
And if you were going to change it from that piece of ground, it would be an expansion of a water right unless you stopped irrigating on the ground that was specified for. Now, what you may be able to do, well, you've got a situation where water wells are going dry on you. You may be able to use that water to replace your groundwater right. It's a different point of diversion, different place to use. That may be technically feasible. I'll have to admit, I'm not a water right expert, but I think you might have something going for you on that side.
Any questions back there?
Can I make one statement? And
certainly.
If you don't, if you're comfortable with policy 32, fine. If you're not, please send it in comment. Those other things that are in the back, the exhibits for the proposed legislation, some of those have already been changed. But your legislator is the right person to contact in that regard. If when the board takes action, or if you can perceive that the board is going to go in the direction of policy 32 you don't like, I suggest you contact your legislature once again. You probably are aware that in the November ballot there was an initiative which gave the legislature the authority to amend, change, disagree with whatever the water board does. It gave the legislature the final authority on the state water plan. So you still have a chance to get at these guys sort of through the back door. Why is the board, if they don't have the final say, coming out and do this? The board feels somebody's got to come out and go to as many communities as they can and try and get public opinion. We think that if we do that kind of work and we propose something to the legislature and we say we went out and talked to the people, they talked to us, we've got a lot better chance of getting through.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for coming, and we'll close the meeting at this time.